Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
A huge chunk of the $1.9 trillion relief bill will go towards quite a few measures that have almost nothing to do with the pandemic, and one of those is pensions. The bill sets aside $86 billion for multi-employer pension plans that have failed. Those plans are in theory supposed to pay out benefits to union workers in construction and manufacturing, retail and entertainment. And Democrats pushed the effort to rescue pensions, but critics say it doesn't address the broader issues with their funding. Let's bring in Robin Farzad, host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure, for more. Hey, Robin.
Hey, Tanya.
So first of all, why are these multi-employer plans in trouble? What's wrong with their funding model?
Mission creep, mismanagement, volatile markets. I mean, a rush of retirees who are living longer. About 124 multi-employer pensions are in what they call critical and declining status, which means they'll likely not have the money to pay full benefits within the next two decades.
Let's step back a little bit. So multi-employer pension plans basically bring several companies together with the union to negotiate benefits. Help us understand how these programs work.
Yeah, companies chip into these funds on behalf of workers through payments, most often negotiated with the unions. So it's argued that they're not as sufficiently regulated as single employer plans. I mean, you'll see critics outright call them union pensions because they were presumed to be safer and they're pooling out the risk. Various assumptions, though, were wrong. I mean, too little was chipped in. The income was insufficient. You had catastrophes like subprime 08. Along the way, too many retirees. And so these pension plans, which have been on the decline over several decades, they're now not able to keep their promises absent some sort of massive infusion.
How did it make it into this coronavirus relief package?
I mean, advocates, there was Sherrod Brown of Ohio, the Democrat, they argued that it was the right thing to do for especially frontline workers, supermarkets, food prep, delivery services, construction workers. Opponents, especially in the GOP, are calling it a bailout for blue-leaning union workers. One Tennessee senator put it, there's more money in this to bail out union pension funds than all the money combined for vaccine distribution and testing. So
Oh, wow. It
is kind of largely drawn along political lines.
Yeah, there's something else, too. About 1,400 multi-employer pension plans exist here in the United States, and they cover about 10 million workers. But this $86 billion in relief is only going to impact about a million of those workers. I mean, how does that money get allocated under this aid package?
Yeah, those million workers are considered to be at the epicenter of distress. The grants offered by this, the American Rescue Plan, would cover full pension benefits for workers in ailing plans over the next three decades. And critically, it would resume benefits that had been suspended. The plan sponsors, they can apply through the aid, through 2025 is what I saw. And controversially, Tanya, the government is not able to condition this aid on benefit reductions or new funding requirements or other forms of austerity.
Oh, really? I mean, do you think this sets a dangerous precedent?
I mean, we used to invoke moral hazard. There was this idea that you shouldn't be able to take private risks that were backstopped by the taxpayer. What about the tens of millions of people with a 401k with really no benefits guaranteed? You're on your own. What about workers who were compensated partially with company stock that was inflated through fraud or mismanagement? It's not necessarily a level playing field.
I have less than a minute with you, but what kind of regulation and oversight do you think is needed to really ensure the multi-employer pension programs stay viable?
Look, in this case, there's a belated effort to insist that the new funds have to be invested in investment-grade bonds. But you always have the pressure to overpromise in the short and medium term. In the long term, it's just someone else's problem. It's hard to take on workers in contract negotiations and demand austerity and haircuts. So you're left with these giant deficits and emergency bailouts. We see them every 10 years or so.
That's Robin Farzad, host of Public Radio's Full Disclosure. Thank you so much, Robin.
Thank you, Tanya.